Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with my good friend, Peter Burak, who works with us in Renewal Ministries. He leads a dynamic, growing outreach called ID 916, and he's been on the program a number of times over the last few years, and I asked him to be with us as we continue to celebrate the octave of Christmas and the amazing readings that were given. It's kind of right up Pete's alley because they're focused on discipleship. So welcome back, Pete.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. There's so much to celebrate. Well, yesterday, friends, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, we ended, I think, very dynamic conversation yesterday.
I liked it.
You liked it, yeah. From 1 John, the Apostle John. Now, the church gives us these readings, and just last week, you know, we celebrated, it was a solemnity or a feast of John the Apostle, the beloved Apostle. We're given both St. Stephen on the 26th of December, John on the 27th, the model disciples in some way for us. And Jesus is coming in the flesh, the incarnation. He brings the kingdom. He's building God's kingdom. And who's in the kingdom? Those who follow Jesus. Who are those who follow Jesus? His disciples, those who are learning his lifestyle, are really imitating and moving in him. And so the reading we ended with yesterday was taken from the first reading at Mass, and it ended this way: do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement of the eyes, and a pretentious life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yet the world and its enticement are passing away, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So he does put a certain condition on his friendship. You know, the relationship with him is, he's all loving, all merciful, he's always extended to those who want it. But at the same time, it really demands something from us to live in that love and to experience his grace and to experience his mercy. And it just really does matter to Jesus what we think about, what we say, what we do, what we spend our time on, what we spend our money on. Like, it just matters to him. Like, he spends a lot of time in his teaching, and then the apostles pick it up to say, if you do certain things, it will exclude you from the kingdom. If you do certain things, Jesus, in his judgment, will say, depart from me. I do not know you. And so one of those things, or one way to classify those things, is the relationship with the world. And so as a disciple, we don't want to live in a sort of legalistic, moralistic, overly scrupulous saying, am I in the world? All, you know, we don't want to live in fear, anxiety about that. But from periodically, the church wants to remind us, like, what is our relationship like to the world? Who do we really care about most? Whose opinion do we care about most? Is it, you know, the relationships that the Lord has given us? Those are important. Is it the government? That's important to some extent. But ultimately, if we're under his lordship, the opinion we most care about, the relationship we most value, the opinion or the relationship we spend the most time on and focusing on, our best energy, our best everything, is given to the King. And I think it's really sobering sometimes when we actually stop and think about our day, any given day, and think about, where is the world? And the world is going to be all around us. It's impossible to avoid the world completely, right? I mean, we're in the world, but not of it. And I think that's a really important distinction. We are in a temporal reality. There is time around us. There's gravity, there's trees, there's, you know, all the things there, and there's death, and there's evil, and there's all these things that are swirling around us. The question is, what is our perspective towards those things? Is it our own perspective? Is it the evil one's perspective? Or is it Jesus's perspective? And the disciple is constantly trying to put on the mind of Christ to view all these things through the truth that he reveals about them.
Yeah. And the thinking about the passage here, it says, do not love the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What Jesus is talking about is, as I mentioned yesterday, the fallen dimension of God's good creation, and what man, under the temptations of the devil and human will and pride, has done to build systems and cultures and ways of looking at the world and redefining reality on its own terms in a way that resists God's purpose and plan. It's resisting what God is doing. What we're celebrating here in Christmas is the coming of the King. The King has come back to his good earth to lay claim to what belongs to him, to destroy the counterfeit, the spiritual counterfeit of the enemy, the kingdom, And the world that's being referred to here is what the enemy has created. It's part of the resistance against the Lord and against his rule. So it's part of the enemies that the scripture describes, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, the world is this order, this set of values, and the volitional power of sometimes of political, economic, social forces that refuse to acknowledge God and are pushing. Now, we see it really aggressively in the culture now, the aggressive push to kill babies right up to their first breath, the aggressive push to be able to kill elderly people, to off themselves, you know. And now the talk about even weaker or handicapped people and, you know, children born with various kinds of deformities or whatever. There's a resistance to God's created purpose. We take what belongs to God. God says, I give life and I take it away. We say, no, we give life and we take it away. So there's a collision of wills and ideals. And that's the world that's there. And we are being pushed every day, seduced and pushed and coerced to say yes to it, to salute to it, to stay in line with it. Because if we don't, it's going to cost us something.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is why the Bible describes it as if you love the world. The real question is, what do you love?
Yeah. Right.
What do you love? Do you love God or do you love yourself and the world? What do you love? And he's making it clear. If you don't love God the Father first with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, you've got idols that you're loving. You've got something else you're living for.
Yeah.
And you cannot be in the kingdom of God if that's where you are. You cannot inherit what belongs to the Son. You're not a disciple. No matter what you might feel, you're not a disciple. Because remember, the love language of Jesus is so clear. I think you mentioned it yesterday. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We're not talking just about Christianity is about sin management and checking off lists of commandments. Christianity is about a radical love from the heart. And so in the end, it's going to be, what did you love? And disciples know what they love, right?
Right. Yeah, and I mean, loving the world and or loving your sin or persisting in those things is open rebellion against the Father. It's a rebellious state, which, like any rebellion, then what you're saying is I'm separating myself from this kingdom. I am choosing to live against the stated order of our salvation. And so it's really sobering to think about. And I think one of the things somebody might be saying, well, you know, guys, I don't love abortion, you know, and I don't love these things, like in terms of a feeling or or a mentality. But one way we express what we love is through action, is through how we live our life, how we model our life. And so sometimes we show the Father that we don't love him by ignoring him. Another way to put that is we love the world by paying attention to the world, by actually paying more attention in what we do and what we think about, what we talk about, to things that are really inconsequential in the eternal perspective. And so one of the ways we need to demonstrate our love for the Father is putting him first, his Son first, and then cooperating with the power that he offers us in the Spirit. If we are going through life kind of with a passivity, if we're just drifting, you can't drift into the kingdom of God. There's no salvation by osmosis. I mean, it really is a conscious decision that comes not only through a mental, kind of spiritual and emotional decision, but then as Catholics, we believe our bodies reveal, we're body and soul, right? So how we act does reveal a deeper truth. That's why we, in the sacraments, you know, an outward sign of an inward infusion of grace. We literally do things to demonstrate the disposition to believe things, but then we also have to do things that are all in line with God's plan for salvation. And so I think a lot of times, and I'll just speak for myself, when I've not loved the Father, it's not because I've made this conscious decision not to love him, but I haven't made a conscious decision to love him. And that's the same thing. It's that lukewarm state, one foot in, one foot out. And Revelation talks about that. Let's not be lukewarm, because it involves a pretty graphic description of what the Father does to us. He spews us out of his mouth. That's be hot or cold. Do not be lukewarm, you know, Scripture tells us.
And Jesus, that simple line is worth reflecting on. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, which means not just following rules, but if you love me, you'll do what I've asked you to do, what I've called you to do, because it matters to you. And you can say, well, I've got a very full and a busy life and set responsibilities of daily life. And Scripture even says, in the midst of that, to me, Scripture says to us, rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. This is the life of a disciple. So what does it mean? You're supposed to be in church all day? No, it's supposed to mean you're supposed to be walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
You're living with him in your heart. You talk to him in your heart each day. You set aside time to pray. You do go to Mass regularly. You do receive the sacraments. You do read God's word. You do when you can. We've got time, especially guys. If guys are listening, whatever guys have passion for, they got time for.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter how busy or how much burden of work is on them. If they love golf, they're getting it in.
Yep.
If they love hunting, they're getting it in. Now, nothing wrong with golfing, nothing wrong with hunting. Those are good things. But the question is there balance in your life, and are you with the Lord in all of that? And have you set aside time every day in your life to say, Lord, I love you above all the stuff I love. I really do.
Right.
And I want to show you that. And I want to get closer to you. And I need the grace to walk it out because I'm really ticked off at this guy at work. And I'm frustrated here. And I'm tempted to do this over there. And actually, I did fall. And I'm sorry. And help me. I want to be yours. You know what I mean? That Jesus wants to know, where's your heart? If your heart's there in it, you're going to seek him.
Yes.
You're going to, even if you fall, you're going to keep coming.
Yeah.
It's not just a rule that kind of forces you from the outside. Behave, you better get back in here now. Okay, geez, I better give the God 15 minutes. You know, I feel guilty. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the Catholic guilt thing. Right.
Right. It's anyway.
Well, and in that passage when Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, immediately we always think of all the things we're not allowed to do, that mm-hmm. he tells us not to do. But what is the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. His first command, the thing that he places above all the other commands, is a command to love. And then he models love for us by the way he serves, by the no greater love than this, than to lay down your life for a friend. So it's a self-sacrificial love. And so we often ignore all like the good commands of Jesus, to go make disciples, to be joyful always, to serve the poor, to do all these wonderful things. And then, yes, he does include some things that we're not supposed to do. But even those things are still based on the foundation of love. He recognizes that the fullness of the human life, the joy, the peace, everything that we hope for can be accomplished with those rules, if you will, with like the rules of a football game make football fun. The boundaries of the field make the game enjoyable. And so Jesus gives us the boundaries, but then actually both shows us and teaches us how to play the game, because he's saying that this is not, like to your point, this is not supposed to be a life where we just are dour and walking around all the time with, you know, trying to avoid sin. It's more like, yes, we want to avoid sin because we of the life that is given to us in him.
Yeah, no question about it. I took a peek at the reading we were going to get to today, which today's read, the first one from 1 John. It says, children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that the Antichrist was coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. Thus we know that this is the last hour. So interesting. So John is saying even then that throughout history, what we see is sort of Antichrist spirits, the anticipation of the final coming of the Antichrist, this figure, this person that will rise up. Before the Lord's final return, there's going to be a major assault on the body of Christ and the rest of it. And so John is living with an awareness. He can smell it. And one of the things he says, that if someone denies the lordship of Jesus, that Jesus came in the flesh, that he's the God-man, he said, that's an Antichrist spirit that's there, that's working to deny it. So interesting. Just a few seconds left. I want to give them to you at the end of the program.
So
anything
let's
you want to
not live under that spirit, right? Yep. And so the way to not live under Antichrist spirit is to get on our knees and to give our lives to the King and do it out of love for him, and to repent for the ways we've fallen, but to just be consistent and peaceful that, like you said earlier, if our hearts are given to him, if we're pursuing him, he will pursue us and he will walk with us in that process.
Yeah, amen. Well said. Friends, the Lord's calling you. He's given you the spirit to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's say yes to him today and help each other continue to walk faithfully in his footsteps. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789, that's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or subscribe to our podcast.